Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for tonight is the Luke Gospel account, Luke 2, 1 through 20, normally read at the Christmas midnight service, but we're doing it here tonight at our 6 p.m. service. And I don't know about you, but I just love Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. It's as if Luke is daring the readers, and Luke's gospel was primarily written at the beginning for Gentile converts, Gentile readers, to check his facts. It's no small thing for us to remember that Luke is writing his gospel around 55 to 60 AD, and Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension take place around 33 AD. So there would have been eyewitnesses to the accounts that Luke records that would have still been alive. There would have been people around who would have said, no, there was no census back then. Quirinius was never ruling at that time in Syria. And yet those arguments were not made until probably the last 100 years or so by people who were nowhere near close to there, but think that they know more than everyone else. Luke has both investigated and relayed the historical facts of these events. And I just love to marvel in the details. In those days, that is the days of Jesus' birth, Caesar Augustus ordered the Roman world to be registered. And we know from history that in 27 BC, the Roman Senate conferred Octavian with the title, who was Caesar, with the title Augustus, the Exalted One. And he ruled until around 14 AD. Quirinius was governor of Syria in two separate times, during which he helped with a census in both. The second one, around 6 AD. Joseph needed to be registered in his hometown. And that would mean that this, as Luke records, this is the first census, not the second one mentioned in the book of Acts. And this is taking place while Herod the Great is still alive, who is requiring the Jews to return to be counted. And we know that Herod died around 1 BC. Thus, Jesus' birth in Bethlehem takes place, to the best of our knowledge, somewhere between late 3 and early 2 BC. Now, I'm not saying this to bore you with numbers and data and stats, or to overwhelm you with things that I could research or you could research. But I am communicating these to you today because it is historical fact. These events happened in a very real place, in Bethlehem, at a very real time when Caesar Augustus ordered a tax census and Quirinius was ruling over Syria with real people, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus who was born. And this is important to understand, because with the internet's misinformation, or your child heading off to college and his professor, who either is a closeted atheist or just hates Christians for whatever reason, he will try to attack these facts and lead your children to, well, reject the Christian faith based on totally false claims. Or perhaps you're just watching TV and they remind you that Christmas really isn't Christmas, but it's connected to a Saturnalia festival or some other stupidity that keeps getting repeated and made up as truth even though it's false. You see, I want you to know this so that those who are led to do this false teaching, that their naughtiness will come to naught, and that you will have peace and the joy that truly comes at this time of the year. For we are here tonight to hear God's Word. And God's Word calls us to halt all our busyness, all the hecticness that has come into our life and into this season, so that we might hear anew the good news of great joy that was proclaimed first to the shepherds keeping watch of their flocks at night on Bethlehem's plain. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, they heard. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So when Luke tells us that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, we might be tempted to ask, what exactly did she ponder in her heart? Mary ponders in her heart what had been spoken by the angel of the Lord to the lowly shepherds concerning her baby boy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Which truly brought back into the mind what the angel Gabriel had said to her only months earlier about this child that was to come. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Surely she pondered this every time she felt the baby move in her womb. Every time she looked down at the little baby Jesus changing him. And every time she looked into Joseph's loving eyes. And yet, Mary is an example of us. Because it seems she forgets these things throughout at times. When Jesus is 12, it seems to wander from her mind. When Jesus is 30, she thinks he's out of his mind. Even though she had already been told who he was, whose he was, and what he would do. Just like us. Forgetful. Our minds get on other things. Everything looks too normal, and so we can't think of anything spectacular that's really going on. And yet that is exactly what's taking place in the birth of this child. How could she but think of these things as she looks down at that tiny baby Jesus, wrapped tightly in the swaddling cloths, placed in the manger for bed? How could she keep from wondering, could this baby boy that is born from my womb really be the Lord, the God of the Most High, the maker of the heavens and the earth, who provides daily bread for all creation, who alone opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing? How quickly we run through the second article of the creed and not contemplate that God was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Here in the manger is God, who has taken human flesh from the womb of the Virgin to be born as a helpless infant boy who needs feeding and changing and burping and has to learn how to walk and to talk. The angels spoke to the shepherds. Good news of great joy that will be for all people. And it's a baby boy. This is no pipe dream or human speculation. These words were from the very mouth of God. Her firstborn son was none other than the long-awaited Messiah, the promised Redeemer, God in human flesh and bone. So Mary kept these words and pondered them in her heart. And I pray you do as well. For we should follow her example this holy night. For when all is said and done, there is nothing to say or do. You see, nothing could be added to this Christmas Eve. Not one thing could make it better than it already is. The most overwhelming music or the most awe-inspiring light display could never hold a candle to the simple wonder of a heart captivated by the gracious God who loves the world so much that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Sorry, Sam. Excellent job, though. And wherever Matthias is, fantastic. But it doesn't change any of it. It doesn't make it brighter. It just helps us rejoice more. For when we could not go to him because of our sin, God comes to us. When we were left only in sin and death and separation from God, He comes to us wrapped in swaddling clothes. And this is the mystery in the manger. God in diapers here among us. God in a crib. And 30 years later, this baby's arms will be stretched out on a Roman cross. And there He will die for our sins, that He might remove forever the curse of sin and the sting of death, which is the just penalty of God's law. But our Christmas gift is this: peace on earth and goodwill toward men. God is reconciled with man through His only begotten Son. Your sins and my sins are gone. They've been remitted. They've been absolved, because they were forgiven on the cross in the God-man who comes for you and for me. You see, everything else will pass away. The glitz and glitter of the worldly Christmas will soon be packed away for another year. The excitement of children and the happy glow of all we've come to expect from this holy night is not only illusion, but it's so fast fleeting. All too soon it's gone. But not this gift. Not the gift that we are to treasure in our hearts tonight. For this gift, this Jesus, still comes humbly for God's people in word. And His word joined to water and bread and wine. May we always ponder these things in our hearts and hear the angel of the Lord's words once again: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Or you will come to His house, and He will come to you through word and sacrament, spoken by men, delivered by the hands of man, and yet from the very gift of God, His body, His blood, given and shed for you, so that you can have peace now and for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. And a blessed Christmas to all. And now may this peace, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.